The key is Tom Colgan, who is the editor at Penguin Random House, who runs the Clancy Estate. And he gives every writer that comes in the best advice that he could possibly give. And that is, do not try to write like Clancy, because you'll fail, because only Clancy can write like Clancy.
That's Jeffrey Wilson, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. In addition to the Tom Clancy and Jack Ryan series of novels, Brian Andrews and Jeffrey Wilson are the writing team behind the best-selling Tier One, Sons of Valor, and Shepherd's book series. They join us to talk about the latest in the Tom Clancy Jack Ryan series, Executive Power. Brian and Jeffrey, welcome to Conversations.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, this is the third book now that you've written in this Clancyverse about Jack Ryan. So tell us about where you're taking readers this time.
Yeah, so the first two books that we wrote, Act of Defiance and Defense Protocol, we introduced Katie Ryan, and you got to spend a lot of time getting to know her. But in this book, we're bringing another Ryan into the family business, her brother Kyle. And so we were a little bit vague on purpose. We referenced Kyle, but we didn't tell you what he was doing and where he was doing it. And we were saving it for this book. So we had it in our minds that we were going to bring him in book three. And we kind of wanted it to be a little bit of a secret. And it's also sort of a secret for the rest of the Ryan family, which is part of the fun of the story, is that nobody really knows where Kyle is and what he's up to. And so you're coming along with almost the rest of the Ryan clan as to, you know, where is Kyle and what's he doing?
I mean, it's what's fun about that for Kyle in particular. First of all, Katie is still very forward in this book. She was very, very well received in Act of Defiance and Defense Protocol. The fans seem to really have gotten behind her. So she's very forward in this book as well. But Kyle, like Brian said, was sort of like a little bit vague and it's a secret from everybody. But what's really fun about Kyle is that I don't think it's right to say he's the black sheep of the family, but he is a little bit different than everybody else. Everyone else has their sort of, they're Ryans, and they're clearly Ryans. You know, you have Jack Jr. who's out there kicking in doors and doing that stuff. Katie is more like her dad. She's followed him into the family business of intelligence and analysis. And Kyle is sort of searching for where, you know, his individual contribution. And so without spoiling anything, it's unveiled for the reader today where Kyle landed and what his relationship is with the rest of the family.
Well, Kyle clearly ends up in trouble. So family needs to come to the rescue. And as you pointed out, Katie is working the intelligence angle, trying to figure out where he is and who's behind it, because it's not as obvious as it looks. And then for Jack Ryan, you know, where does he cross the line? I mean, this is his son, but he's also the president of the United States. So how many rules does he have to follow versus what he needs to do to make sure his son is rescued?
And that's the exact reason for the title, right? So we named this novel Executive Power because that's the struggle. Jack Ryan, what I've loved about Jack Ryan, not just writing him, but as a reader, I've been reading Jack Ryan since childhood, right? And love that character. And I love how Tom Clancy developed him into this Boy Scout. He's going to do the right thing all the time. That's just who he is. He can't not do that. And now he's got this situation where it's so personal for him because his, like you said, his son is a target and in distress. So where is the limits of that executive power? Where is that line, that gray area where you are not doing the right thing for the country, but for yourself? And Jack is always going to be someone who finds that balance, right? And so watching him struggle to find it was part of the joy of writing this book.
Often you've been able to draw from real life political situations. I'm wondering how much of what you see going on in the world in real life now played into creating this storyline.
Yeah, 100%. If you're somebody who watches the news, and that's getting more and more difficult to do these days because what is the news, right? And so what we're seeing is, you know, nation state actors are very active in trying to manipulate geopolitics and the news cycle all over the world. And so it does make it quite difficult when you're working for State Department or the Defense Intelligence Agency or any other government organization abroad to try to know what's really going on. And so, you know, that's sort of what's interesting about Kyle's role. We see this increasing importance of cyber activities and having safe, established communication networks and just sort of, so to speak, boots on the ground. In this case, it's not the active military, but it is having a presence in a country where there's a lot of geopolitical activity and potential turmoil. And so what we tried to do is we picked a real world location, but a fictional scenario that could be extremely plausible, right? So we're looking at the African continent. It is very true that the Chinese are very active in doing both political, economic, and military growth in the African continent. And so, you know, when you think about the stability of these nations and the deals that they make, a lot of those sort of behind the curtain deals are something that the United States would not be privileged to understand. And so there's a lot of tit for tat. Okay, you sign up to our Belt and Road Initiative and we'll help you with infrastructure, but also maybe we'd like to have a base where Chinese submarines and warships can park on the Atlantic Ocean. And so the U.S. has to be very vigilant when it comes to trying to understand that military and economic elements go hand in hand.
Now, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler because it's right there on the book sleeve before you even read the book. But Kyle is taken captive along with some others by the leader of a coup. You know, what comes to my mind is things be more complicated than you might think. Yes, there's this leader of a coup, but who's bankrolling that coup? Who's really behind it?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And that's sort of what Brian is alluding to in terms of the overlap between truth and fiction, right? We live in a very complicated world. If you are a smart coup leader, you need to plan ahead, right? You can't just like take over the government. Every country, I don't care who you are, is interdependent on somebody. And choosing who your allies are going to be, not just as you're alluding to, who's going to provide financial support, who's going to provide perhaps intelligence or tactical support, but who is going to be a good long-term partner? And nowadays they have to think that through. And so it was fun for us to be able to show how the events that happen in a nation that may not be on the radar of the average citizen has a ripple effect across the world and up to the superpowers. And so in this case, the interplay between China and the United States in a puppet nation almost, right? So this is a nation that has its own needs and its own desires and its own financial and other requirements to thrive, and who is going to be our best partner. And then we as a nation need to try to do the right thing, right? And so that's why Jack Ryan, we all wish there was a Jack Ryan who was leading the CIA and leading our country and all that stuff, the perfect guy who is team and mission before self. And Jack is going to do the right thing, not just for, you know, his family, but for the world and for the nation. And that's what made it fun. So, yeah, I think fleshing those elements out was extremely enjoyable. And because we're students of geopolitics with our backgrounds, it makes it more fun to both write and to read.
The other thing that I think was really fun for us to look at was, you know, this sort of, okay, these players all know each other, right? They've known each other for a long time. The current president and the coup leader, this isn't the first time they faced off. In fact, the coup leader has been around just as long as the president. He just was on the wrong side of the civil war that lost. And the general who's in charge of the military is working for the president. You know, he's feeling like maybe he's not valued to the level of support that he had, that he expected, right? Or maybe he's not feeling he's getting a taste, you know, he's getting rewarded financially for the role that he plays. And then the coup leader is saying, well, maybe I could work out a better deal with China than the one that the current president has. So Jeff's right. Like these chess pieces, there's a lot of, okay, you know, we have people in power, but if I could get a little bit more for myself by changing alliances midstream, maybe that's something that I'll do. And so you have a lot of testing of boundaries, testing of loyalties, and, you know, shifting of relationships in this book. that we tried to point out that sort of mirrors what would happen in real life.
And Dan, if you had to pick a word to talk that was the theme of this book, it would be loyalty, right? You have Jack and his loyalty to his family. You have his family and their loyalty to the nation and Jack as well. And then, like Brian is alluding to, these people, all of the players here have to pick where their loyalty lies. Does it lie to my nation? Does it lie to the next power? You know, this general has to decide, is this what's best for the country? Am I going to do what's best for my country? Or am I going to do what's best for my career? And so there's a lot of loyalty being tested in this book. And, you know, that's the real world, right? That's what you see in all of these issues. So it was fun from that perspective as well.
Well, this is a thriller, so it definitely moves along, but it's not a simple story. It's complicated. There are a lot of moving pieces. And to help us keep it all straight, in the front of the book, you have a list of characters, and you kind of describe what their roles are. And also an extensive glossary of acronyms, because there are so many in this book to keep track of.
Yeah, we try very hard to, you know, the if you're going to write these things realistically, the acronyms are going to have to be there, right? Because that's how we speak in that space. We've always worked since our very first book, however many years ago, Tier One. We've always tried to make it so that if you want to know what that acronym really means, you can look it up. But if you don't feel like flipping back and forth, we try to give you the context in the conversation and the setting so that it's kind of obvious basically what it means. So we try to feed both of the readers, the ones that are interested in that detail and the ones that don't want to have to be flipping around but want to understand what's going on. But it is a challenge to write military stuff. And they got this challenge got elevated because in this book, we had the privilege, and I will call it that, having deployed once to the Middle East and lived on the base with Marines. I can tell you it was truly a privilege to be able to this time focus on the Marine Expeditionary Unit and those expeditionary task forces. So there's a huge Marine element that does something that hasn't happened in decades, but something that they train and prepare for all the time, which is a amphibious assault landing. You cannot write with about Marines and dilute out all the acronyms. That's never going to happen. So yeah, it was even more challenging in this book maybe than in some of the others.
For fans of the Clancy stories, of course, you know, there's Jack Ryan, there's Katie, and now there's Kyle. What are some of the other familiar characters that pop up in this novel?
Well, so Katie's big sister and her mom show up, of course. And I think that sisterly brunch that we set up, that was just a way to show, number one, that the Ryans first and foremost are family and that they care about each other. But also show that, you know, this is something that we all can relate to, which is, you know, especially when you're a type A person who's a professional and highly motivated, it's pretty easy to get lost in your career and your own family. And, you know, the days and months and years can click by sometimes and you don't even realize how long it's been since you've connected with maybe a sibling or a parent just because you're so lost in the minutiae of your own life. And so that was sort of a fun element for us just to recognize that even in an idealized family like the Ryans, it's still real life, you know, and that these sisters, they haven't gotten together for a brunch in a long time and it's long overdue. And we wanted that to feel like that's something that every reader could relate to. There's a great show on television Jeff and I talk about a lot, Blue Bloods, which, you know, shows about a group of people who are in the family business of law enforcement. In the case of Blue Bloods and Ryan's, it's protecting the nation, but you get to see family dynamics at the same time as you have their jobs. And so that's what we wanted to do in this book.
In terms of the other major characters that the Clancy fans are looking for, they're certainly there. You know, we still have Jack Ryan's been president now for a handful of books, obviously. And so his inner circle and team are all there. One character that might be strikingly obviously missing is John Clark. We struggled with how to incorporate Clark's character into this book. And the bottom line is, in this book, we really elevate a military operation. This is no longer covert operations. This is an overt military operation. And so there wasn't a way to work John into this book in a way that would be realistic. And so he does take a bit of a backseat in this book, which some readers may miss his presence. But in order to do what we wanted to do with the military overt action, it just didn't seem realistic to incorporate him. So you get to see him a little bit in early in the book, but he definitely takes a back seat in this one.
And then Jack Jr., of course, has his own series. So
he doesn't need time in this book.
Speaking of that, there are so many different books in this series, all under the Tom Clancy umbrella. You got Jack Ryan Jr., you have Jack Ryan. How do you sort of honor his writing style and his legacy while at the same time putting your voice on it?
That's an awesome question. And it's one, when you first get asked to do the series, it's something you struggle with. And I think we've said this to you before, but the key is Tom Colgan, who is the editor at Penguin Random House, who runs the Clancy estate. And he gives every writer that comes in the best advice that he could possibly give. And that is, do not try to write like Clancy, because you'll fail, because only Clancy can write like Clancy. Now, I'll flatter myself into saying, and Clancy couldn't write like Andrews and Wilson either, because we all have our own voice. And so Tom has always said, he's challenged every writer in the series, you write the best book that Andrews and Wilson can write that honors the canon of work, the characters, the relationships in your own way. And so that's like taking off a 100-pound backpack full of rocks. The moment that Tom tells you that, you're like, okay, that I can do. What helps is being enormous fans of the body of work. I've read every Clancy book from Hunt for the Red October, right? And we've talked before about how that impacted our military careers. Both of us had read those books long before we were writers, and we're friends with the other writers. That's a big help. So we know what they're doing and what's going on. There is communication, but it's once you don't have to write like Clancy, and all you have to do is honor a series and characters that you already are in love with and intimate with, it isn't actually that hard.
There's so much canon around these series. Do you find that is something that restrains you, or is it something that kind of gives you freedom because so many things have already been created before and you can just work with that?
I think it's when you first start, it's intimidating and you're a little bit worried about the super fans who might dig in and say, oh, well, this contradicts X, Y, and Z from 12 books ago. And even if you've, like Jeff said, even though we're fans of the series and we're readers and we've read all the books, I mean, they're long books, you know, especially Mark Greedy's books. You know, some 600 pages. And we don't have eidetic memories. And we're not machines. We're humans. So, you know, I'll say to the readers, first and foremost, if we do make mistakes, know that it's not from apathy. You know, it's just that we're human beings and we're storytellers and we're doing our best. But at the same time, I also think that the canon is a living canon. And so what that does is it empowers you as an author to, once you sort of take the reins of this racehorse, it's like, well, you know what? If I want to go over here, I can go over here because I'm in charge right now. And I think that that's okay. And I think that fans appreciate that because it does allow us to bring Andrews and Wilson's take to this series, but also the world is evolving. It's not the same place that it was in 1984 when Tom started the book. It's not the same world it was in 1994 or 2004. It's evolving. And so I think, you know, the characters need to evolve, and it's a tricky balance to be able to honor everything that came before, even though if you said some of these things wouldn't make sense in today's world, we're sort of stuck with them. So it's a balance for us to try to honor that and also make it feel very authentic and real now. And so just know we did our best, and it's certainly in the best interest of all the decisions we made are in the best interest of good storytelling and being faithful to the characters and Tom Clancy himself.
All that being said, it's still a challenge to find something new, right? So because you know, we'll be like, when we do the brainstorm for each of the next books, right? We're like, okay, what if we did this? And like, no, remember the,
yeah.
Okay, how about this one? No, remember the, and so the, finding a fresh idea was a challenge, not for Act of Defiance, because Act of Defiance was meant to be almost a memorial to Hunt for the Red October. And so we were able to retread some some thematic elements on purpose, reintroduce some characters on purpose. But for the rest of them, that is the challenge. Like, there's 26 books just in Jack Ryan Sr. Add all of Jack Ryan Jr. books into it and everything else that they've written. It's like coming up with that brand new, fresh idea for Jack to handle. That's a lift. So
there's only so many countries in the world.
So many bad things.
It's not like we have an intergalactic, you know, universe that we can play with. It's just Earth.
No multiverse yet. No.
Right.
No multiverse yet.
So in addition to this series, you have three other series that you also write together as a team. So I'm curious, what's next for fans of your work?
Well, we always have a lot going on. We release three or four books a year, as you know. So this has been a busy year. I think we had four books come out. We just released a book in the Tier 1 series, and we have a new book coming out next July. So this is actually the first time in a while. Book 9 just came out, The Adversary. We love it. It's one of our favorites. That series just keeps on going. But we are sensitive to the fact that in this book, we introduce some change and elements that people are not going to be willing to wait a year and a half to find out where they go. And so we got permission from Josh Stanton to follow on very rapidly. So this is actually the first time since the first book in the series that we will have released two books only 6 or 7 months apart in the series. So that book is coming out, and we have a new project that we're working on. We can tease out, called Dark Horse. We won't tell you much more about that, but this is a new standalone potential series book. What else do we have going on? I don't know. What else?
Sons of Valor 4 came out in July. That series is still going strong.
Yep.
The Shepherd series, we released Dark Rising. It feels like forever ago, Jeff, but it was just in the spring. So yeah, the fourth book, that's in our Shepherd series. So yeah, those series continue. And just for any of the fans who are listening that are wondering, because sometimes we see this in reviews, those people will say, you know, please write another book, or I think this might be the last one. No, we'll tell you if it's the last one. You know, we're not sadists. So, you know, it might take a while. And I know it might feel like we're forcing you to wait, but there's just two of us, and we write all of our own books. And I shouldn't have to say that, but I think in today's age, it's important for people to understand, you know, we don't use artificial intelligence to write our books. You know, we started writing well before artificial intelligence, so you can rest assured that it's still us. We wrote all our books then, we're writing them all now, and we're fast, but we're not as fast as ChatGPT. So, you know, it takes a few months to get a book done and tidy and out, but our plan is to continue writing these three series. We're going to alternate between them. And like Jeff said, we have some other exciting stuff coming out. Dark Horse is going to be a new standalone. But also, I do want to tease that in December, there's a short coming out called First Ranger, which we're really excited about. And this is going to be on Audible and Kindle. And it's a short story, but it's pretty long. Jeff, what would you say? Like, 4-hour audiobook, something like that?
3 or 4 hour audiobook. And it's exciting because not just, I want Brian to be able to tease the story, but I also want to make sure everyone understands we're celebrating with this book, with this short, the launch of the Andrews and Wilson Entertainment imprint at Blackstone.
Yeah.
So Blackstone has asked us to head up our imprint. That announcement came out. Our fans already know about it. But what we didn't tell them during the announcement, and I think we're announcing it for the first time right now, actually.
Yeah, I think we are.
Is that we are going to release a series of shorts over the coming year. Every month that we don't have a book coming out, we will be releasing a short. And these shorts are special because these are shorts that are short form treatments that we used to sell all of the projects that we have set up in Hollywood right now. So all of the short stories represent stories that eventually either became a novel or in development for a novel now. And most of them have been sold in Hollywood as for film and television. So that's kind of a neat way to celebrate for our fans, this new imprint. As you may know, we've got some great writers writing under our imprint now. Don Bentley's going to be contributing, Jack Stewart, Joshua Hood, some new emerging authors. So we've got a lot of fun, exciting stuff coming up in the imprint. And this is our way to celebrate that. So we hope people will check these things out.
And each of these short stories is its own thing. I mean,
very different.
So First Ranger is truly the story of America's first ranger, Thomas Knowlton. He started Knowlton's Rangers. He was brought, George Washington during the Revolutionary War brought him into his office and said, we got to do something against the British because we're outnumbered, we're outgunned, and they have more spies and collecting intelligence than we are. We have to figure out what these guys are up to. And so, you know, Thomas Knowlton is really credited with being the grandfather of America's special operations. And so we wanted to celebrate that. So this is our first historical action thriller. So we're pretty excited about that one.
Well, thanks for the update. And as always, a pleasure to talk with you. The third book in this Clancy-verse, the Jack Ryan Sr. book, is Executive Power. Gentlemen, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Dan, it's always a pleasure, man. Really good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.